In 2027, I think we'll get through James. No, we've got probably, I don't know, I got two or three more lessons, probably three or four more weeks that we'll actually be in James, the way that we've worked through this. But there's no need to rush, right? It's the Word of God, and we're going to learn from it all we can. And so last week we were in verse 13. And so is anyone among you suffering, let him pray. So we talked through that. But the idea is, here's what's pretty cool about this one verse here. God gives us in this one verse the solution to, you got problems in your life, here's what you do. Things are going great in your life, here's what you do. It's pretty simple. I like simple. Simple works for me because I is simple, right? So he says, the word says, James says, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is anyone among you suffering? This is not, and this wasn't talking about like physical, I guess it could be, but the idea is more of a problem. You're having trouble. There's a circumstance in your life that's causing you trouble. He says, look, if anyone among you is suffering, pray. You want to know what to do when you're having a hard time? Pray. What you do when things aren't going well at work? Pray. What you do when there's persecution in your life, financial problems in your life, you're being sued, whatever the problem may be, pray. That's the answer. And if we really wholeheartedly come to the throne of God and cast our care upon Him, here's what I know. If He tells us to pray, then there's something He's going to do through that. We don't want to give it to Him. We like carrying around our struggles. But you should pray. And so if I'm going to pray to Him and I'm going to take that need to Him, then I'm probably going to lay that down at His feet, casting all our care upon Him. For He cares for you, He cares for me. And so there's that part of that. Now the second part of the verse says, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Sing psalms. Do you ever catch yourself singing? When you fall into troubles and you're suffering, we don't tend to sing, do we? Though we could, but perhaps if we prayed, then we could sing. Perhaps if we spent time praying about the situation that we're in and giving it to the Lord, maybe when we got up from praying, the burden wouldn't be so heavy. We wouldn't be trying to carry so much on shoulders that weren't made to carry those burdens. Maybe we really, if we gave them to Him and the burden's been lightened, we'd have something to sing about. But He says, if you're cheerful, you know, I can tell the difference. I don't know if y'all can tell the difference. I feel good tonight. I feel good. And I felt good. Monday was horrible. Jackie, are you in here? So Jackie was in the office Monday. She knows. I come in Monday, I could hardly move my head. I told her I would bet my house that my neck is back out. It was terrible. Got through Monday. By Monday night, for prayer band, I was better. I was feeling a lot better. By Tuesday morning, I felt great. Yeah, Tuesday was great. Went to the doctor. He said, no, everything's fine with your neck. Today, I feel really good. A little dizzy. A couple times, I'm stumbling a little bit. But I feel good. You know what I find when I feel good? I find myself singing. And what's really weird is when songs that I haven't heard in 30 years pop in my head, or an old hymn pops in my head, and I start singing that, and I'm like, where'd that come from? You know what it comes from? It comes from a happy heart. It comes from, I do believe there's an answer here. You having troubles? Pray. And you know what? If we pray, we can sing. And so if we're joyful, if we're cheerful, let Him sing psalms. God balances our lives and gives us seasons of suffering, and He gives us days of singing. There's a balance in life. We don't, you know, all of life isn't a time of suffering, and all of life aren't the days of singing. There are times where we don't want to sing. We don't feel like singing. And we're suffering, we're going through those difficult times. But God balances those out. And the mature Christian knows how to sing while he's suffering. See, we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait till everything's wonderful to sing. We don't have to wait till everything is just perfect in our life to praise the Lord. You know, anybody can sing after the trouble passes. You know, God... God is able to give us, as Job 35:10 says, songs in the night. The Lord can put a song in our heart at any time, regardless of what we're going through. He did this for Paul and Silas when they were suffering in that Philippian jail. And you know the story there. They had been beaten. They had been thrown into the inner part of jail, shackled, probably the dirtiest, nastiest, coldest, wettest, stinkiest part of the jail, the prison there, thrown in there after having been beaten. And what do they do? What'd they do before they sang? They prayed. Acts 16:25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, everybody saw what they had been through. You want to talk about a life that testifies? I just love to impact people. Man, one of the greatest ways that we can impact people and greatest ways we can testify what God has done in our life is when you're going through a difficult time, you show your faith in the way that you deal with it. And it doesn't have to be death, but we've talked about that. I've mentioned it many times, Jeannie Best and the way her and Dennis walked through that storm in their life, and Dennis went on to be with the Lord. But Dennis never wavered for a second. He praised the Lord. He made preparations. He wanted everything good and right and ready for her when he was gone. But man, he was just praising the Lord. And Jeannie walked right through that with such grace. It's because she trusted the Lord. She praised the Lord. But here's Paul and Silas going through the worst of that, and they're praying and they're singing. They're praying and they're singing. What if our life, in the difficult times of our life, that's what people see? That is a man of prayer. That is a woman of prayer. They got joy. It's easy to sing when we're happy and things are wonderful. Hey, I won the lottery. What about when you're going through an illness? What about when you've got financial struggles? You've lost your job. Your kid is sick. Whatever it might be. What if when you're going through that time, you can pray and you can praise? And people see joy in your life. Not some fake happiness. Joy. Joy and happiness aren't really the same thing. There's times of circumstances, we can be happy or not happy based on circumstances. But our joy isn't really dependent on circumstances. Our joy is anchored in the Lord. It's anchored in Him. And so the fact that He died for me. And He rose for me. And He came and He called me and He convicted me. He touched my heart and He revealed to me, hey, you're a sinner. You need me. And He saved my soul. There's joy in that. And if my head fell off tomorrow, there's still joy in my relationship with Christ. Praying and singing. Praying and singing are important elements in worship, and they were important elements in the early church, and they should be important to us. Praying and singing. Our singing ought to be an outward expression of our inner spiritual life, right? That ought to be That worship, when we come in here on Sunday morning, I think, Pastor Aaron, he works with us. He's trying to help us to understand that, when we go to pray this praise time, this isn't just worship, okay? This isn't all that worship is. Life's pretty shallow if that's all worship is the time that we sing. We worshiped earlier. But that's praise. It's a time of praise. We praise the Lord. Where does that come from? It should come out of what He's done in us. We shouldn't have to work that up. I really shouldn't have to prime the pump on Sunday morning, right? That pump, it ought to be full all the time. It ain't. Our spirit should not be like the old pumps where you had to go out and do this and then catch the water before it stopped. Shouldn't be that. It should be like the tap we have at home. You go turn it on and the water flows. It ought to be there. It's there. And so Pastor Aaron shouldn't have to coax us to worship. That worship, that praise, ought to flow out of our hearts of joy and thankfulness and gratefulness for what God has done for us, what He's done in our lives. Amen? So it ought to be, the singing ought to be an outward expression of that inner spiritual life. And the believer's praise should be intelligent and not just the mouthing of words or ideas that mean nothing to them. Now, the reason I say that is because it's easy for us to get monotonous. Now, I love this because Pastor Aaron doesn't sing. We'll do a song 2 or 3 weeks in a row, but it's not like he's lazy with the preparation. It's not like, well, it's just my favorite song. He does that because a lot of times he'll introduce a song to us through the internet. Then Wednesday night, we'll do the song in here. And then Sunday morning, we do the song. And now by Sunday morning, you're getting the song. You're learning the flow of the song, the melody and all that, but you're also learning the words to the song. And I hope you don't just read the words so that you, or say the words so that you're just following the song. I'm just singing the song. What's the song about? Let me ask you if you've ever done this. So you ever heard a song that comes on the radio, or you're out somewhere and there's a song playing in the store or whatever, and you go, oh yeah, I used to listen to that back in the day, and you're listening to it, and I always liked that song, and you listen to it, and then you go, I never thought about what that was saying. Have you ever thought about how much we don't think about what we're singing? Because it's got a good sound. It just sounds good. And they're the vilest things. But hey, your country music's safe, right? You can sing country music because country music is some of the purest music out there. It's really good stuff. I'm saying that very sarcastically because I know some of us like country music, but it's no better than my 80s pop. It's the theme of the music is, if you'll listen to it, not all of it. There's some secular music that it's okay. It's not. There's some songs that actually honor a marriage relationship or a true love relationship. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Well, I'm not going to listen to that all the time. No sappy stuff. But if we listen to the message of the music and not just lip the words, it will change what we want to listen to. So when we come in, it shouldn't be, our worship should be intelligent. 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. So we worship in spirit and in truth. And so the idea here is I know what I'm singing. When I sing How Great Thou Art, that song engages me. Tim Sunday, as we did Living Hope, Tim said, that's my song. And we were talking about Tim. It was like somebody turned Tim's mic on Sunday morning. You know why? Because he turned the tap on. And it just flowed out. That's his song. And man, we could hear him. I mean, I heard, because we had done, it was the second song, I think. It was the second song. I didn't hear Tim. That second song started, boom. I remember looking. I was like, man. And he was engaged. That's not a criticism at all. You know why he's engaged with that song? You know why he sang it the way he sang it? Because the message of the song, the words of the song speak to his heart. And he's not just lipping it because it sounds good. He's not checked out at the door. He's singing from his heart. He's praising God from his heart for what the Lord has done to him. That's where that comes from. That ought to be the way we worship. It comes in, so it's intelligence, an outward expression of that inward work that God's done. It's an intelligence. It comes from an understanding and an intelligence, a knowledge of what we're singing. It should come from a heart, from the heart, and be motivated by the Holy Spirit when we sing. It should be motivated by the Holy Spirit. It should come from our heart. Ephesians 5:18-19. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Man, this is pretty cool because we sing to one another through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And that pretty, I think that pretty well covers the realm of all the types of music and the ways that we would sing, but also making melody in your heart to the Lord. So the idea is here, I'm singing to the Lord. A lot of times when I'm singing, you know, you start singing and why am I singing? Well, sometimes I think it's because we do like the song. There's a couple old hymns that I'll be walking out the door, and that'll be the hymn that pops in my head, and I'll be whistling it going out the door. And so we've got those things, but we're making this melody in our heart, and hopefully we're singing to the Lord. It shouldn't just be that I'm mouthing words. You should be thinking about what I'm saying. And I ought to be thinking about who I'm saying them to. As I sing that, I'm offering that back to the Lord, praise to Him. Christian singing must be based on the Word of God and not simply on the clever ideas of men. Now, now I'll say this. You got to be careful even with Christian music on the radio. As, you know, there's a lot of songs that are, you say it this way. There was a lot of Jesus is my girlfriend kind of music. You never heard that? Anybody else ever heard that? Got a house right here. One's no and the other's yes. Scott's heard it. So it's this idea of, it's almost like you're singing like Jesus, like Jesus is your girlfriend. It's a love song to Jesus, but it's sappy and but you listen to the words of a lot of the songs today, and their depth is paper thick. There's no depth to it. Very shallow. Even the concept, you almost, some of it, you almost have to stretch. You got to stretch to go, oh, okay, that I see the biblical principle there. Another thing with a lot of the music today is it's all about us. A lot of the songs you listen to. I was the other day, I was listening to some stuff, and three songs in a row were singing about David and Daniel in the lion's den. Three songs in a row, because I put on a contemporary Christian list for 2025. Three songs in a row we're talking about David slaying the giant, Daniel in the lion's den, and those songs, what is that about? It's about you're going to get me through. But it's so much about me. We need to praise Him. Music needs to be about Him. Now, we can praise Him for getting me through those troubled times and stuff. But there's a lot of music that's so focused on me. You got to pay attention to it. Is it focused on me? Or is it focused on praising Him and glorifying Him? There's a lot of old hymns. Don't think the hymns are perfect either. I love the hymns. But somebody said one time, we sing the hymns. Some people tell lies. And he said, we Baptists, we sing our lies. Like, you ever sang I Surrender All? Did you really? Have you really? I hope so. But I know there's times where I sing I Surrender All and I hadn't surrendered a whole lot at all. Hadn't surrendered a whole lot at all. You know what I'm saying? So you gotta watch Southern Gospel. Southern Gospel is all about heaven. It's all about heaven. How about we sing about the one that's in heaven? How about we sing about Jesus? You get my point? I'm not trying to disparage all that, but you got to listen to what they're saying. What's the message of it? And the best music, the best songs are the ones that are based on the Word of God. That's the best that we have. Not the ideas of men and a lot of the music today, the Christian music, sounds a lot like the stuff you find on the regular radio. There's not much difference. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So if a song is not biblical, then it's not acceptable to God. And it doesn't matter whether we like it or not, or whether it's acceptable to us. All that matters is it acceptable to the Lord. And so, you know, Aaron and I are, I think we're in probably not perfect lockstep, but we're in pretty close lockstep. He's a music guy, right? So I'm not. But I know we've had I'm trying to think if we've ever, I don't know that we've ever disagreed on a song, like where he said, well, I'm going to do this in the service, and I went, no, we're not doing that. Or I said, hey, we ought to do this song, and he went, oh, are you crazy? No, we're not doing that. We're in agreement on that, because his understanding, his philosophy is the same as mine. We want music that brings glory and honor and praise to God Almighty, to the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Holy Spirit. We want to praise God through our music. And there's no lacking of music to do that with. We don't have to be ZD88.3 in here to praise God, okay? So again, if it's not biblical, it's not acceptable. So we had talked about suffering, and then so a couple of questions just in wrapping this up last week and this week. When we talk about suffering in those situations, do we pray for suffering to be removed? Should we pray that way? Or is it better to pray the Lord's will be done through the suffering and that His grace cover the person in the suffering? Which is the better way to pray?
The second one's a better way to pray. The first one is what we usually pray.
You're right. We usually pray for the suffering to be taken away. And I mean, that's what we want. I imagine Patrick probably wasn't. Did you ever get down with a baseball and roll it around on your kidney? I had a friend that would get kidney stones, and he thought they were so bad he was trying to get them loosened up. So he would get a baseball, and he'd lay on the floor on his kidney on that baseball and roll around on it trying to get them loose. I'm like, man, you're crazy. Patrick, you might have prayed, Lord, please take these out of here. Get these out quick. Yeah. So when we're in that, it's hard to pray. I mean, our prayers are, when you're going through suffering, you want to be out of the suffering. But, and I don't know that it's wrong to pray that, but we can also pray, Lord, teach me in this suffering. And I shared with you the year and 8 months that I spent struggling with my head. There was many days where I said, Lord, would you please just clear this up? Give me some relief from this. And for 1 year and 8 months, he chose not to. 20 months I went through that. I look back now and I'm like, if I fall back into this, it's going to be really bad. Because you get some reprieve and it's like, but I know this, and I've shared this in here. I've shared it with elders. The Lord has taught me a lot of things through that. And there's things He humbles you with. There's things He reveals to you that you need to fix, you need to work on. So we want the Lord's grace to get us through. We want Him to whatever His purpose is in allowing that, we want that. We want that. We should embrace that. I don't try to know why anybody gets sick or why that person gets sick and this one doesn't. I don't presume to know any of that. But I know God does, and I know God has a plan, and He's over those things. So He's the one we trust in that. And then He kind of reveals to us, do I trust Him? Am I trusting Him in this time? Amen? I'm trying to work out 15 minutes in my head. If I start, that's not a good place to stop in there. We're gonna stop right there. We're gonna stop. So we're gonna finish early on that tonight. And so what we're gonna do, we have a good group. Look around. Everybody look